It is time to welcome back some guests who were with us a couple of weeks ago talking about a really interesting local journalism project. And I won't say more. I'll just introduce Gabriela Fernandez and Courtney Teague, who are here to tell us what's next in this story. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Two rays of sunshine here in the studio. Thank you.
Courtney's even got the yellow on, you know.
Yeah.
She's
definitely
you bright can't and see, but I'm glowing.
Very good. So get us started. One of you recap what your project is all about.
Great. So we got this incredible grant through USC. We went back in March. And essentially, the grant is to really help us try to investigate a lot of the housing issues that we have here in throughout the Napa Valley, sort of, you know, the difficulties with finding affordable housing, as well as, you know, what other problems can arise from that. Obviously, sometimes our inability to find affordable housing or even adequate housing, because, you know, we can have a lot of homes throughout the Napa Valley that have been converted, whether that's illegally or whatever, multiple families living in the same home, that can sometimes cause a lot of stress on the body. So we find, you know, mental health issues, physical health issues. There's some people that have to commute 2 hours away from here just to, you know, come find a job or to continue doing their work, you know, and people who like to say, oh, well, just like, why don't you get a job somewhere else? It's like, well, maybe my skill set is only pertaining to right here in the Valley because this is where I was born and raised. This is what I've known my whole life. And now I've been pushed out, which is, you know, what so many people feel like, and they're neglected and they feel like, you know, they're working 2-3 jobs, and even that sometimes doesn't feel like enough. And you're like, how is this possible? How is it that I'm expending all of my energy and yet I still can barely, you know, make it? And so we are doing an incredible project where
to toot our own horn.
Yeah, not to toot our own horn, but it is pretty incredible.
It's incredible.
We're just really trying to, you know, find out, you know, what are people's stories? I mean, I have personally been affected by that. You know, I've seen my family growing up incredibly affected by that, and I've only noticed it getting worse. And so it's kind of just like, who is going to talk about this, you know, because everybody wants to talk about, and I mean, ironically, with Bottle Rock just having passed this last weekend and how many tourists that brings in, you know, how much money that brings into all of our local businesses around here. Napa's not, you know, this small thing. Everybody who talks about Napa and Napa Valley knows that it's, you know, luxurious and it's wine country and come here, relax, feel, you know, like you're the finest person on the planet, sipping fine wine in bougie hotel rooms, which is great, you know, for anybody who wants to come visit. But there's a whole other side to this place that nobody ever really wants to talk about. And we think it's important to do that. Yeah. So,
and that was Gabriela, by the way. And I didn't really introduce you properly. Gabriela is a broadcast journalist here at KVON and KVYN, among her many other pursuits. Courtney Teague, of course, writes for the Napa Valley Register. So that set the background really well. Courtney, what's this next step that's just happened this week?
So this week, a couple days ago online and in yesterday's paper, we published a call out. And so as Gabby mentioned, you know, we did get a grant to really go out there and find people's stories and track them down. So it's a little survey and we're asking you guys to share your stories with us because this project doesn't exist if we don't hear from you, you know, like we really need to share people's stories. And we've already been getting some great responses from people. Well, great responses, I guess, frank responses and candid responses. And people have sort of been opening up to us about their everyday struggles and what their realities are like. You know, we've heard from a dad who says, yeah, I'm making it work because I've gotten my kids to expect fewer meals. And that's hard to hear.
And cheaper meals, too.
And cheaper meals, yeah. And
they call that intermittent fasting. You
know, so yeah, yeah.
It's a thing now.
But it's also a really, really tragic and sad reality if you think about it because, you know, this isn't just something that's affecting the person that's having to, in this case, this dad, pay for the bills and to try to survive. Then you see generationally how it's going to affect the people that are next in line, which are his kids. And then, you know, how is that affecting their schooling? And when they go to school and people want to talk about, oh, well, like get on free meal programs and things like that. Okay, well, if you make just a little bit over the line, you know, it's still not enough for you to provide your kids meals, but it's definitely not cutting it to where you're allowed to take advantage of these systems that we have in place. So it's a struggle for so many people.
Yeah, and we're really starting to see that. I mean, it's something you know if you live here, right? But as these responses have started to come in, we really get to hear more about people's day-to-day realities, and we really value that. We're asking questions like, are you having to sacrifice, certain things like utilities or medical bills, or like, what do you have to do to make rent work, mm-hmm. Are you still even able to live here in Napa County, or do you have to commute? So it's not a super long survey, but the more responses and the more detailed responses we get, the better. We're also looking to host a little event, hopefully in the next month or so, and we're also inviting people to that if they would be interested. And we're also giving people an option on the questionnaire to sign up for a newsletter that we're going to be putting together to kind of share our reporting and to connect people with resources that they can go to in the community. So all of that is going to be in there. And we just actually, the Napa Valley Register, if you look them up on Facebook or Twitter, we just reposted that questionnaire. If English isn't your first language, or if your family is Spanish speaking, we've got it translated into Spanish, thanks to Gabby. Everyone, we want to hear from you.
We really do want to hear from you. We want to make sure that it's easy, it's accessible. I think one of the most exciting parts for me, obviously what we're talking about is very difficult, and we have to be sensitive around that. But I can say that I do get excited around how many people are willing to be vulnerable and transparent enough to share their stories with us. I was telling you earlier before we went on air that it's so exciting to see how this is our first time that we're promoting it now that it's been live. We went live 2 days ago, and yet we've already received 36 responses. I mean, even just within the first couple of hours that it went live, and we hadn't mm-hmm. even told anybody yet that it was up, mm-hmm. we were already getting responses. So it's like people were finding it, people were sharing it, and that's without us even, putting in any legwork, like, right away. Mm-hmm. So it speaks to word of mouth. It mm-hmm. speaks to people who really, I don't know, I can only imagine, I think about myself, how exhausted you are of feeling the situation that you're in and wanting just something completely different. And so sometimes, you're just like, let me share my story. Let's see what we can put out there. We were hearing about this other couple that, he works Monday through Friday, and the wife works Sunday through Friday, and they only have one day off together, which is Saturday. And they said even then they're living paycheck to paycheck, and they still try to find like odd jobs mm-hmm. here and there to make up the difference. And I'm like, how can you have two full-time individuals working where you only get one day off a week and you can barely make it,
Right, and you're spending that looking for alternate housing accommodations is what they said too. Yeah.
Wow. And in a span of a generation or a generation and a half, we have ended up in that situation where in the past our parents, grandparents, one income was enough to run a family, have a family, have a home, a mortgage.
Stay-at-home moms were a thing.
Right? You didn't need income.
You didn't need to work.
So things have changed. The concern becomes, and here's something you'll hear from politicians once in a while when they're being frank about things. If you engage in a conversation and there's no solution to the problem, what then? Do you just leave people more frustrated after, talking about it? Do you think people in your process of gathering information, this outreach work, engagement work, will people come forward with ideas, like ways to solve this? Some things have been done. We have the accessory dwelling unit thing happening now. That's a good mm-hmm, step. Mm-hmm. There's apartments getting built on quite a large scale in Napa at the moment. They're all going to go market rate for the most part. So the problem is the same. There's more of it still.
There's more housing, but it's not affordable housing,
And all the traffic exacerbations and everything that we'll see. So you think that will be part of this too, or will it be people just venting, or do you think people will be offering ideas?
Well, we definitely want to hear people vent so that we can sort of share stories and mm-hmm. show people the reality of, everyone's situations. It's your neighbors, it's people if it's not you. But a big part of this is we want to offer solutions. We want to be solutions oriented. We don't just want to be like spitting these problems at people and not show any bright spots. Because like you mentioned, there are some bright spots, right? I mean, we don't have enough housing to meet demand, certainly, but it seems to be getting a little bit better, you know?
People are very focused on
people
it.
People are trying. People are thinking about it. It's
one,
top
right?
of mind. Yeah.
And that's where we want to keep it, top mm-hmm. of mind. And we think that having this project out there, I mean, I know that Courtney and I have talked multiple times, is, you know, does this involve getting city officials to then be a part of it, to have conversations, maybe some forums where people who are feeling this overwhelming, frustrated situation can then connect. Again, this newsletter is going to be very helpful to, one, let people know sort of what information we're receiving, but then, two, provide them with an opportunity to seek some resources that maybe we've been able to identify or other mm-hmm. things that people may not know about 100% of the time. And then often, too, you know, that's why the Spanish portion of the survey is so helpful, because there can be such a disconnect, as we saw with the fires, on our entire Latin American population here, or a Spanish-speaking community that just doesn't get the information trickled down to them. So there are definitely multiple things, multiple moving parts to this project. I love that, you know, we both are very passionate about it in terms of wanting to be able to have everybody share their story, make sure that we're, you know, trying to come up with solutions-oriented outcomes. So it's still in its beginning stage, but already 36 responses in, and I'm just like over here thinking, you know, well, what are the next 6 months going to look like? You know, because this is a full-on six-month project. I think we're going on mm-hmm. until September. So yeah. We've got a while to go, and I can only imagine, you know, just how many more responses we're going to get.
Yeah,
wow. A little bit of them were making me tear up. So, it's also an emotional process for us as well to have to read about some of the things that we're learning. For
and sure. I do want to add, too, that if people have good experiences with housing or programs or resources, we want to hear about that, too. You know, mm-hmm. we want to share the good news. We don't just want to be, like, major bummers.
Yeah, no, because maybe they've been able to find something that worked, and maybe other people can hear about those experiences
right.
and try to do something, you know, different themselves.
Those
but
stories are just as important to us.
For sure. Yeah. So recap again, somebody just tuned in. You can go to the Register itself.
Yeah.
It'll be published in today's Dead Tree Edition, and it's already online, mm-hmm. and it's in your social media,
mm-hmm.
and you guys are individually sharing it, of course. And,
yeah. Yesterday's paper, actually.
Yesterday's
but it'll
paper.
Still be on, you know, our social media at the top of our feeds right now.
And what are they looking for? What's it titled?
So you're looking for a little picture of a red house that says Costs of Living inside. That's the name of our project, Costs of Living Napa Valley. It'll have a little message saying something to the effect of, help us answer some questions, help us investigate housing in Napa Valley.
Yeah.
And this morning I am also going to put a link to the Spanish survey in there too, so you can find that by clicking on the English survey.
Mm-hmm. And is it anonymous?
It is anonymous, yeah. I mean, we do ask for people's names and people's email addresses, but we're not sharing it unless you're comfortable with it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for us. You know, we're interested to hear about the details of what's going on, but, you know.
Completely not. Anything
that
is actually going to be shared before putting out anybody's individual name, that
mm-hmm.
would be a conversation that Courtney and I would have with them to ensure that they feel comfortable enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
We don't want people to be turned away simply by thinking, you know, oh, well, now my business is going to get put out there, where maybe you're open enough to talking about it, but you don't necessarily want your name or your face identified
mm-hmm.
with anything, in which case, completely understandable, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we'll then, as we're following up, which we are asking people, are you willing to have us follow up with you? Would you be interested in this event that we're trying
mm-hmm.
to hold? That's sort of where we would then start to have conversations around, are you looking to or open to the idea of having us, you know,
mm-hmm.
identify you as somebody and share your story. So.
I think you're doing it all right.
Thank you.
There's another story, Courtney, that you've been mm-hmm. working on that's definitely housing connected. Talk
yeah.
about that a little bit.
Yeah. So actually, when Gabby and I were meeting with the executive director of Fair Housing, this is something
Pablo Satarain.
Yes. This is something that came to our attention. And he was telling us that dating back to the 2017 wildfires, Governor Brown declared a state of emergency in Napa County and other counties. And in California law, a state of emergency also means, okay, you can't price gouge people, which is jacking up prices of rents, hotels, motels, emergency supplies, medical supplies, building materials, all kinds of things by more than 10%. They have extended that order a couple of times, and so it now expires on June 1st, which, yes, is in a couple of days.
Yep.
And there's still no word
Saturday.
On right, Saturday. Yeah, literally 2 days. As of yesterday, I checked in with the governor's office, Governor Gavin Newsom, and there's no word on whether he plans to extend it again. Now, the county and groups like Fair Housing are a little bit concerned. For fair housing, this first kind of started to raise some eyebrows for them because they started getting calls from landlords who said they might be looking – these calls indicated to them that landlords might be looking to raise rents as much as 20% to 50%. And now these are low rents, right? And they're looking to raise them to market rate prices. But there's still the concern that, you know, that kind of an increase might not be affordable for people.
No, I mean, can you imagine how many people we would be displacing if you were to go up 50%? Mm-hmm. Simply because you couldn't raise it in the last 2 years because of natural – like, I get it. You know, everyone is trying to make their piece of the pie. I 100% understand. But to me, there's also an ethical piece to that, right? I mean, how much more extra cash flow do you need for yourself? Because you're using it personally. It's an investment, and that's why you're renting out to somebody. How much more do you honestly really need at the expense of knowing that you're now kicking somebody out, somebody that is going to be having to find housing when you know all too well that there is nothing really available? So I think then 100% this ethics piece comes into that. And then that's the part that kind of breaks my heart in seeing how so many people are intrinsically motivated to just get their own.
Capitalism is a brutal system at times.
And that's Fair Housing's concern, right? I mean, they say that that kind of an increase would just be too much for single-parent families, seniors on a fixed income who have to pay for health care, transportation. And they also note that the housing stock countywide doesn't meet the demand. And, you know, they do fear that displacement will lead to migration out of the county. And I did talk to someone with a property management company, and they said a reasonable annual increase would be around 2.5 to 5%. So, you know, again, this would be a pretty drastic change for a lot of people.
Yeah. Really good stuff and really important. And just seeing that last night, I didn't use this item yet, but Bay Area News Group reporting that the Assembly passed a rent cap proposal just last night in Sacramento.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Going to the Senate. And that's not related to disaster declarations or gouging. That's just in general, like the maximum you can increase rents year to year, which – that would be revolutionary.
Yeah, the legislature is definitely exploring some pretty significant changes that not everyone is happy about and supports.
The fight will be intense.
Yeah, definitely.
On both ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. Excellent update on this project called the Costs of Living, journalistic process project that, as you described, grant-funded from USC Annenberg School.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriela Fernandez and Courtney Teague. And this is just a next step on our little journey here, huh?
Yes.
When will you come back and fill us in again? Soon?
Couple weeks? Soon, hopefully.
Yeah,
when we start getting more replies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Replies.
Can't wait.
Definitely whenever we have that event coming up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So everybody listening, when you see this item in social media, forward it around, share it.
Please.
Get the little virality going so you get lots of responses. Right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And if I could just add, you can also reach out to us and we can send the survey to you or just reach out to talk. You know, we like to hear from you.
Yeah.
Our email is costsoflivingnv@gmail.com. That's costs, plural. And you can also call or text us at 707-282-10. And again, that's 707-282-10.
707-282-10. Got it. All right. I'll save that number.
Awesome. Thank you, Barry.
Beautiful work. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry.
All right. And it's time for a break now.